Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Forgiveness, as we pick up in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, the therefore immediately points you back to the last verse of chapter 4, where we are exhorted to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. So Paul's topic here is God's forgiveness as our example of forgiveness. So be ye followers of God, or follow the example that God has established for us in forgiveness. You know, really, the Bible does have the keys to good mental health. And a very important thing for mental health is a forgiving spirit. If you are holding bitterness or animosity in your heart towards someone else, that bitterness is going to do you a lot more harm than it is them. It can just eat at you. The Bible constantly is emphasizing the importance of our forgiving and being forgiving, just to have a forgiving spirit. When Jesus was giving to the disciples the model prayer, incorporated into that prayer was, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Asking for forgiveness, but also acknowledging the fact that I have received forgiveness. Or I must myself be forgiving. Forgive us and help me to be forgiving as we forgive others. And then there was only one petition of that prayer that Jesus emphasized at the close of the prayer, and that was the petition on forgiveness. He said, "For if you will not forgive men their trespasses against you, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Jesus taught so much on forgiveness, Peter one day felt he was getting the lesson and was looking for some extra strokes. And he said, "Lord, how often should I forgive a brother the same offense? Seven times?" And I'm certain that Peter felt that he was really growing in grace, in that he could conceive of forgiving a man the same offense seven times. And imagine his chagrin when Jesus answered him, "No, Peter, 70 times 7. 490. The Lord, I am certain, was demonstrating to Peter that forgiveness is not a matter of mathematics. Before you get to the 490, you would have forgotten. Count. And you just go on forgiving. It isn't a matter of mathematics, it's a matter of spirit. And God wants us to have a forgiving spirit. Yes, you have been wronged. Yes, you have a right to be angry. Yes, you have a right to be upset over this whole situation. Go ahead, eat yourself up. Or forgive and be freed from that." So, Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So you see how it ties to the previous verse in the previous chapter. God is the example for us in forgiveness. We are to be followers of God who has forgiven us. And walk in love. Now, as we've pointed out in the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul has dealt with the spiritual blessings wherewith God has blessed us in Christ in heavenly places. Having seated us together in Christ, made us heirs together with him, and having spent three chapters telling you all that God has done for you, and all that God has promised to do for you, and all that God is planning to do for you, having thoroughly rehearsed the resources that God has made available to you, he finally starts to talk to you about your walk. Now, unfortunately, we don't follow that same example in our preaching today, but we start immediately preaching to people how they ought to walk, how they ought to act, how they ought to respond. But the Bible doesn't do that until it lays first the foundation of God's love, God's grace, God's goodness, God's blessings, God's provisions, and now walk in love. Because you've been so loved of God, so blessed of God, so taught of God to love, walk in love, as Christ also has loved us. So forgiveness, God is the example. We are to forgive as God has forgiven us. Be ye followers of God. In walking in love, Jesus is our example, who loved us and gave himself for us. So that self-sacrificing love, that giving love. He has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God of a sweet-smelling savor. Now, in beginning now to list some of the unloving things whereby men often relate to each other, it is interesting that he puts at the top of an unloving thing fornication. And we see how Satan has so deceived and distorted things. Because the world equates fornication with love. In fact, they use the term, let's make love, when they are referring to the act of fornication quite often, calling it love making. But here in the scripture, it is the prime example of something that is lacking in love. That is lacking in true love. A person who entices someone else into the act of fornication is not really considering the other person, but only considering themselves and their own desire for some kind of fulfillment, emotional, sexual, or otherwise. They are not really considering the other person, that they are leading them into a damning sin, into one of those works of the flesh which Paul tells us that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so it is a very unloving thing to lead a person into an action that is so destructive to that person's spiritual walk in life, which is total disobedience to the commands of God. And so it is not really loving and considering the other person. It's a very unloving act. And it is only Satan's deception and lies that would cause a person to even think of that as an act of love. It's an act of lust. But true love is not really involved. If you really love the person, you would be considerate of their conscience, of their feelings. You would not want to place them under that guilt that they would feel afterwards, that shame and all that they would experience as the result of the relationship. And so it is interesting that Paul would place that at the top of the list of an unloving act. Walk in love. The second is uncleanness, which of course is a sexual uncleanness or impurity. Covetousness, and of course that's at the heart of unloving actions. Self-love. Covetous, but that isn't a real love or consideration for others. And let them not once be named among you. You are the children of God. Walk in love, not in these unloving ways. Neither filthiness nor really foolish jesting or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient. Really, he's referring here to dirty jokes. Should never, never be done by a child of God. The passing on of a dirty story. Because what you are doing is planting filth in that other person's mind. Filth that they will not be able to get rid of. It's tragic. But I can remember dirty jokes that were told me when I was just a little kid. That filth was planted in my mind and I cannot get rid of it. It still lingers there. Oh, I don't think on it all the time, thank God. But you know how the dumb mind works. Every once in a while, one of those dirty little ditties that I learned as a kid. Some kind of a sight, sound, word will trigger a DNA molecule and it'll pop that thing out of the file, flash it across my brain. Think, oh, God help me, that filth is still there. But what a shame to plant filth in someone else's mind like that. Filth that they can't get rid of. Permanent stains. That's not loving. Not loving at all. Rather than that kind of stuff, we should be giving thanks. Plant stuff in their minds that will edify, that will bless, that will be good, that will build them up. For this you know. Now I hope you know it. No whoremonger, nor unclean person, sexually impure, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Paul says, now you know this. The tragedy is a lot of people don't know that. They think that they can get by with these things. They think that somehow God will smile at these things, or God will excuse these things or pass over these things. God is a righteous judge, and everything will be called into account that is not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let no man deceive you, and unfortunately, so many men have deceived in these areas. But let them not deceive you with vain words. As they get into their speculations and as they get into their rationales and into their philosophies. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You see, in the early church, they had a heresy that was known as Gnosticism. And according to the Gnostic heresy, basically, everything that was material was evil. The material world was not really created by God. God in the beginning sent forth emanations. And one of these emanations got so far from God that it wasn't related to God anymore. And this emanation created the material universe. And thus the whole material universe is just given over to evil. It's just evil and you can't do anything about it. Only the spiritual is pure. Therefore, they taught that Jesus was not in a real body of flesh. He was actually a phantom, just an appearance. When he would walk along the beach, there wouldn't be any footprints. You know, and they created all of these fanciful stories to deny that Jesus had come in a body. And so that's why John, to counteract this Gnostic heresy, said, if any man denies that Jesus came in the flesh, he's the Antichrist. Now, going along with this teaching that the material is all evil, they said, inasmuch as the material is given over to evil, it doesn't matter what you do with your body because it's, you know, it's all wiped out anyhow. That's just all evil. It's part of the material things, which is totally evil, so it doesn't count. God really doesn't count it. It's what's in your spirit that counts. So you can go ahead and commit fornication. You can go ahead and do all of these things. And it really doesn't matter because, you see, that's all a part of the material body. And God is so disassociated from the material world that anything done in the material world doesn't really count in the spiritual realm. That was the teaching of the Gnostics. And so Paul is saying, hey, don't let any man deceive you with vain words. And as you get into the Gnostic heresy, there was a lot of rationale and plausibilities and all. But they were deceiving people with the vain words and telling them, hey, you can do what you want in your body. It really doesn't matter. It isn't wrong because the body is material and it's all going to be done away with. It's what's spiritual that only counts with God. Don't be partakers, Paul said, with them. Actually, he said, don't you realize that these are the very things that are going to bring the wrath of God on man? These are the things for which God is going to judge the world. And if you're guilty of doing these things, then you will be judged with the guilty world. You were one time in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Actually, not quite. You were one time darkness, not in darkness. You were darkness. Now you are not in the light. You are the light. One time your life was darkness. Now your life is light if Christ is dwelling in you. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said, what fellowship hath light with darkness? Now think about that for a moment. Light and darkness are mutually exclusive. They cannot coexist. When you turn on the light, the darkness goes. But they don't coexist. They're not one. They're separate, mutually exclusive entities. So spiritually, you cannot walk in darkness and walk in light. If a man says that he has fellowship with God, who is light, and he is walking in darkness, he lies. He's not telling the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we do have fellowship with God as the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is continually cleansing us from all sin. So again, don't be deceived. If you are walking in darkness, then you cannot have fellowship with God. So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now we are to take more than just a passive attitude towards darkness. When someone comes and starts to tell a dirty story, and it's obvious from the look in their eye and the sinister smile that it's going to be one of the dirty ones, stop them. Reprove them. Don't just listen and then smile politely and chuckle and say, But say, that's filthy. There are some men whose minds are like racehorses. They run best in a dirt track. But don't let them pour out their filth on you. Don't have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Reprove them. Speak up. Tell them that that's wrong. You don't appreciate it. And that way you'll keep them from coming back with more filth later. It's a shame, Paul said, even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And of course, a lot of times they want to come along and tell you the weekend that they just had and all of their exploits and all. It's a shame to talk about those things. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. And he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, inasmuch as he has not believed on the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Light came into the world, but they would not come to the light because their deeds were evil. And if they would come into the light, their deeds would be manifested. So they will not come to Christ because of their evil deeds. Christ is the light, and they don't want to come into that light because it'll reveal the truth about them. They love to stay in the darkness. They stay away from the light.
Looking to build a stronger home or encourage someone else to do the same? The Word for Today is excited to offer the Marriage and Family MP3 series, a powerful collection of teachings from Pastor Chuck Smith, filled with biblical wisdom and real-life encouragement. In this series, Pastor Chuck shares God's timeless truth for relationships, covering the blessings of both personal and marital life, as well as scriptural roles of husbands and wives. You'll hear messages like the husband's role, the wife's role, sweetening up a sour relationship, training our children, and more. Whether you're newly married, raising kids, or simply wanting to invest in your relationships, this series is for you. And it's a great gift for family members or friends who could use a little extra encouragement in their home life. Order the Marriage and Family MP3 series today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD.
May the Lord cause His Word to be established in each of your hearts and lives. And may you grow in grace and in knowledge of Him. And may He, with His cords of loving kindness, just draw you unto Himself, that you may ever experience a richer, fuller, deeper comprehension of that love that God has for you, His child. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ephesians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources. resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Ephesians 5. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.